Yeah? Oh, yeah. Well, as people were coming in the building today, there were two primary talking points in my conversations with people. One of them had to do with my hair. People wondered if there was a story. I'll tell you the whole story right now. Ian texted me this week and said, quote, "I'd love to know if you're up for a fun youth thing." That's the story. And here we are. I texted back and I said, sure. And Ian's wife, Macy, has been joking since then. She was like, "You texted back, yes, so fast. It was like you were just sitting at home waiting for someone to ask you to bleach your hair." The other talking point at the doors this morning related to Father's Day. So I will join my voice with many others in wishing a happy Father's Day to you. I also got a lot of text messages today about this. One from a friend said, quote, "Happy Father's Day," which is a very good greeting today. One text message from a family member said, quote, "We love you." That meant a lot. I also received another message in a group chat full of dads that said, and I quote, "Happy Farters Day." It got a lot of reaction emojis that were all very positive. Perhaps this is a fair time for me to transition to the title of my sermon, which is Praying for Maturity. I did not plan this. And I guess I'll let you decide if the theme might be applicable on Father's Day or not. In reality, we're continuing a sermon series that we're calling Praying by the Book. In this series, we're praying that we can grow in praying. In this series, we're inviting you to grow in prayer. I think all Christians understand that prayer is a vital part of our faith, but from personal experience and from knowing other Christians through the years, I also know that so many of us find a big gap between what we imagine our prayer life would be like, or should be like, or could be like, and what our prayer life actually is like. So many of us experience this wide gap between what we imagine our prayer life could be and what it is. Whether it's talking to people who are new to the Christian faith or people who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, many years or decades, a consistent theme in many of our lives is a desire to move forward in this spiritual practice, a desire to move forward in this spiritual discipline of prayer. We all have people in our lives that we want to pray for, that we intend to pray for, maybe that we commit to pray for. Maybe we can put this in kind of a Father's Day version of this. Do you know what it's like, as a parent to think, I want to pray for my kids? And maybe we come up with a new, fresh conviction. This week, I want to pray for my kids every morning. And so Monday morning, we sit down, and we don't need to write their names down. We know their names already, but we sit down and we begin to pray for the things that come to mind about our kids. And then on Tuesday morning, we think, all right, I was planning to pray for my kids this week, and we call to mind the list of their names. But today, not a whole lot has changed since yesterday, and so we kind of go through their names in prayer. And then Wednesday comes, and we think, all right, I'm going to pray for my kids today. And there starts to be this feeling of like, but I prayed for them yesterday, and I don't feel like I have new words to pray for them. I want to keep praying for my kids because I care for them and I believe that God matters and their relationship with God matters. So I want to keep praying, but I'm kind of running out of words to pray for them, and it starts to feel kind of worn out and routine. It starts to feel like we're just saying the words. Some of you maybe know what I'm talking about. This is not just an issue for parents, of course. Think about praying for your church family. Have you made a commitment ever to pray for maybe a few specific friends in your small group and maybe had a similar experience, or praying for your church family as a whole? Or think about praying for God's mission in this world and what God is doing to bring more people to know Him and to experience the hope that is found. And as we're praying for the mission, we find similar things. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's this sense of, I want to pray for specific people. But sometimes we run out of words and it begins to feel rote and it begins to feel boring and our minds start to wander and we think, well, I guess that was a good idea last weekend, but by Thursday or Friday morning, we're just kind of giving up. You know what I mean? How can we learn to pray and to keep on praying? How can we learn to pray and to persevere in prayer? How can we learn to pray in a way that honors the Lord? The simplest advice I have discovered, the most straightforward and most helpful advice that I know, is the simple advice that I received many years ago from a mentor in the faith who encouraged me to pray with my Bible open. Instead of just going through the list of names of people I want to pray for, what if I pray with an open Bible and begin to connect my kids' names with things that God is talking about in Scripture? Instead of just praying for other people in my church family as if it's a checklist, what if I call to mind their names one at a time as I'm meditating on and thinking about the things that God has given me, the words that God has given us in Scripture? Many times we've talked about the value of praying through the Psalms. One of the most valuable spiritual practices that I know. In this sermon series, we've thought about praying from other parts of Scripture as well. We've thought about praying words of Moses and Miriam from the book of Exodus. We thought about praying alongside the prophets. We've thought about praying from the Psalms. We've thought about praying from New Testament letters. Today, we want to move from praying the kinds of things that we learn to pray as we pray alongside Paul, to today we want to think about what kinds of things might we learn to pray for if we learn to pray alongside Simon Peter. If we let his words, if we let the Lord's words revealed through him guide us in our prayers, how will that help us pray for others? How will it help us keep on praying for others that we care about in our lives? And the word that I've put in the title of this message, maturity, or maybe we could simplify the word and just talk about it in terms of praying for progress in other people's lives. As Alyssa was reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, I think it was probably clear to us how Peter is encouraging us to pay attention to this issue of maturity and progress, leading us to think, well, yeah, let's pray for progress. Let's pray for maturity when we're praying for other people in our lives. Let's pray for that sort of thing. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, I'm not going to talk about everything in this passage that we asked Alyssa to read today, but I want to focus our attention especially on this simple prayer for progress here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How does this inform our prayers? It teaches us to pray for progress, and progress specifically in a certain type of maturity. But if I can borrow a little bit from the context that we heard read a moment ago, I want to draw your attention to two principles in Christian progress that are helpful for your life as you're pursuing progress, that are helpful for you as you're thinking about growing in maturity for yourself, but two principles that are also helpful as we pray for brothers and sisters in Christ that they might grow in their faith. One of the principles that we discover here in 2 Peter chapter 1, as we pray for Christian progress, one of the principles we run into is this principle that if we're praying for Christian progress, we're praying for people who are already accepted by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and who are already accepted in this extraordinary way that Peter, Simon Peter, describes us as having equal standing with him in our faith. Now, in order to understand how remarkably wonderful this idea is, maybe just a very quick review. Simon Peter is not just one Christian among millions around the world and across the centuries. Simon Peter is one of the 12 apostles. And not just one of the 12 apostles. According to Matthew 16, Simon Peter was the one Jesus was talking to when Jesus said those memorable words, "On this rock I will build my church." Simon Peter, according to Matthew 17, was in a certain kind of close relationship with Jesus among the disciples, such that he was one of only three disciples, along with James and John, that Jesus invited to follow him up the mountain to be witnesses of what we call the Transfiguration, when the glory of Jesus was revealed. And according to the book of Acts in the New Testament, Simon Peter was something like a spokesperson for the early church. People were healed through his ministry. Lives were changed. On one memorable day, thousands were converted and baptized through hearing his preaching. And yet, notice how Peter addresses ordinary Christians like you and me. Notice how Peter addresses ordinary Christians like other Christians here in this room today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, "To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." Let me just do this for 1 second. Let me invite you maybe just to glance down the row that you're sitting in. Don't get too distracted if you're sitting by a distractible friend over here, teenagers in the front. But maybe glance down the row or even glance around the room for just a moment. I want to invite you to take in the wonder, the beauty of the gospel that Simon Peter believed, and the beauty of the gospel that is still true today. Because of what Jesus has done for us in his life and his death and his resurrection, and because of the gift of righteousness that comes through Christ to all who believe in him, every Christian in this room has what Simon Peter himself would describe as a place of, quote, equal standing with him in the kingdom of God. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so as we talk about praying for brothers and sisters that they would grow in maturity, we're not talking about looking down our noses at them as if they're just kind of less than we are. Praying for others to grow in their Christian faith is not a matter of saying, I'm awesome, they're not, maybe they need me to pray for them. Praying for brothers and sisters to grow in maturity, to make progress in their faith, is a matter of recognizing, like Peter, we are already accepted by grace through faith. We already have an equal standing by the amazing grace that we've received in Jesus Christ. So as we pray for ourselves and as we pray for others, we want to pray for progress, recognizing that we're already accepted by grace. But there's another principle here in 2 Peter chapter 1 that might inform the way we think about praying for progress or praying for growing in maturity in our lives or in the lives of others we care about. The second principle is that not only are we already accepted with equal standing, it's also true that we're still growing. Which is why Simon Peter addresses Christians like us and tells us that we have obtained an equal standing by grace through faith, and also challenges us, as he says in verse 5, to make every effort to keep going and to keep growing, to keep maturing in our faith. Do you see that line in verse 5? Actually, let me back up to verse 3 for just a moment so we catch the drift here. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue is a character word that refers to excellences in character. Make every effort to add to your faith excellence in your character. Make every effort to add to your virtue or your excellence in character. Make every effort for that to be supplemented with even more knowledge. And make every effort for even more knowledge to be supplemented with, here's a challenging word for some of us, self-control. And make every effort for self-control to be supplemented with growing steadfastness. And make every effort for steadfastness to be supplemented with growing godliness, and godliness with that brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Do you hear Peter's vision here for Christians like you and me? Look, we're already accepted by grace through faith, and yet we're still growing. We're already part of the family. We're already loved by God as his dear adopted children. And yet we're called to keep on growing in maturity. All of us are called to keep on adding to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge and so forth. I wonder if some of us have settled for a vision of the Christian life that is too simple. It's just pray a prayer and get into heaven, and then whatever you do between now and heaven, why does that matter? But the kind of Christianity that Peter teaches, the kind of Christianity that the Bible teaches, the kind of Christianity that Jesus teaches along with all of the scriptures, is a kind of faith that yes, has a heavenly outcome, but it also has profound implications for how you and your loved ones can and hopefully will live our lives this week. And so as we pray on Father's Day, let's use this illustration. If we're praying for our kids, I wonder if it is good for us to pray for them to pray for them that they would make progress in their faith. As we pray for others in this room and others in our small group, what if we not only celebrate that others in our small group already are Christians and already have God's grace surrounding their lives, but what if we pray that they would keep on going further in that faith? You get the idea. Let's pray for progress. The question, what's the power of Christian progress? Peter gives us a clue to that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, in the way that he talks about this prayer for progress. Verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied. May grace and peace be multiplied. Here's that growing, increasing, moving forward, even multiplying kind of effect. But what's the power of it? What does it mean to grow in Christian maturity? How does that come about? It comes about as grace and peace multiply. Next question, what can God's grace do? I wonder, what could God's grace do in your life if it were to multiply? I wonder what God's grace could do in your kids' lives if grace were to multiply. I wonder what grace could do in our small groups and our congregation. I wonder what grace could do in our Sunday gatherings. I wonder what grace could do in our ministries and our mission if it were to multiply. What could grace do? We get a clue to that maybe if you turn back a page or so in your Bible to the end of 1 Peter chapter 5, or if you're scrolling on an electronic device, I suppose scroll upwards. But if you turn back a page or so to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at 1 Peter 5:10, we get just a little glimpse. This is just one way that the New Testament describes what grace can do or accomplish in our lives. And therefore, it gives us some clues as to what might happen if grace were to multiply in my life or in my kids' lives or in the lives of those I'm praying for. What can grace do for us? Listen to how Peter describes the power of God's grace, if you will, in 1 Peter 5:10. He says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all kinds of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I wonder what the grace of God could do if it were multiplying in our midst. If we take just 1 Peter 5:10 as a way of thinking about that, if we're praying for grace to multiply in our lives, that might include a recognition of how God calls people to his eternal glory with Christ. Maybe that in some cases would lead us simply to pray with gratitude for how we see God's calling in other people's lives around us. Not calling as in, should I be a pastor or should I be a teacher or should I be an accountant? Calling as in, called to eternal glory with Christ, called into a relationship with God. Maybe we just celebrate that. Maybe in some cases we pray that those we know who have heard the message of Jesus Christ would see and sense and experience deep within the Holy Spirit drawing them and calling them and pulling them close to God through that. What could the grace of God accomplish among us? Certainly, it reminds us of how God can bring us into a right relationship with him. But grace does more than simply begin a relationship with God. You know what else the God of grace does? The God of grace also himself restores. I wonder if some of you here today hear me talking about grace, and there's a sense that I know that God's grace was something that I appreciated in the past, but I've turned and I've kind of walked a little distance away from that. Maybe you just are coming to a place even right now of being able to say, I know that I've turned away from God himself, and I've walked away from his guidance for my life. You know what the grace of God can do? It is not only able to begin a relationship with God, it's able to restore your walk with God. And you know who has a powerful testimony about that? Simon Peter. Like every year, at least once a year, we think about the story. At least once a year, we think about the story of the night when Jesus was betrayed. And we hear the story of how Peter denied Christ and then denied Christ, and then after that he denied Christ again. Every year we hear the story of how Simon Peter denied and denied and denied. But as we hear that story, we also need to hear Peter's testimony that our Lord Jesus, who was betrayed and betrayed and betrayed, continues to love and love and love his disciples. And when they turn again to him, you know what he does? He forgives, he forgives, he forgives. He restores, he restores, he restores. I wonder if some of us have people that we pray for and we think, I think they know the Lord, but it seems like they've strayed. How do I pray for someone who I think they know the Lord, but it seems like they've strayed away? Well, here's an idea for how we can be praying for them. Let's pray that grace would be multiplied. That grace would multiply in all of its restoring and restoring and restoring effects. And you know what else the grace of God is able to do? The grace of God, which is able to bring us into a relationship with him and begin it, the grace of God, which is able to restore a relationship when we turn away in our sin and deny him, the grace of God is also able to confirm us in his grace. Maybe some of you have been restored to Jesus Christ, but there's still that nagging doubt. Do I really belong? And you know what the grace of God can do for you? It can confirm and confirm and confirm. And as the grace of God multiplies, bringing us into a relationship with God, restoring us, confirming, you know what else it can do? It can strengthen us. And Lord, have mercy. I know some of us need strength this week. I know many of you are walking through really exhausting things in life. I know so many situations present in this room today that leave us feeling like, I don't know if I have it in me for the things that are up ahead this week. You know what I mean? Or maybe it's what you've been through in the past. Not necessarily the mistakes that you've made, but the suffering that you've endured. Not only the sins you've committed, but the suffering you've endured in the past. It leaves you weak, and it leaves you feeling like, I'm not sure I can keep going. What you've experienced 5 years ago leaves you feeling today like, I know I want to keep following the Lord, but it's so hard. And as the grace of God multiplies, you know what the grace of God is able to do? is able to strengthen and strengthen and strengthen you with the kind of strength that you need this week to honor God with your life, to keep going in what he's called you to do, to keep loving people who are challenging to love, to keep serving in situations where it feels like strength is running on empty. What is the grace of God able to do? It's able to begin a relationship with him, to restore, to confirm, to strengthen us, to establish us. And we might add so many other things to this. Even if we just think of 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 for 1 second, Simon Peter talks about the grace of God as being what empowers the gifts that the Spirit of God gives us so that we can serve one another, whether it's serving one another with the words that we use to do things like this for them with God's grace in their lives, so that God's grace can restore and comfort and confirm and strengthen and establish others, or whether it's serving others with steps and acts of kindness that just require showing up with a meal, or just require showing up to lend a hand in a moment of need, or that just require showing up to be there as the friend in times of tears. In these moments, whether it's serving with words or serving with the strength that God supplies, all of this, Peter thinks, is the grace of God being multiplied throughout a church family. And so as you're praying for your kids, as you're praying for one another, as we're praying for our work that we're called to do in this world, let's keep praying that the grace of God would be not just present to a minimum degree, but growing, adding, extending, multiplying exponentially among us, to the glory of his name. This passage calls us to pray and to pray for progress as grace and peace multiply. And here's a key element according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace will multiply among us specifically through knowing him. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How profound this is, that fishermen like Peter can claim to know God, the Creator. How wonderful this is, that an apostle like Peter can look around at the church of Jesus Christ and say, dear sister, since you have a faith of equal standing with ours, since you're already accepted in the kingdom, keep on seeking to grow, making every effort to keep growing in your faith as grace and peace are multiplied. How? Not just through a few apostles knowing God, but through you knowing God himself. And more specifically, for Peter, prayer is not only a therapeutic exercise that helps us relieve stress, as if just saying the words for 5 minutes a day can have a good effect. It turns out, studies will tell you, that praying for 5 minutes a day will have a good effect. But Peter's rationale is not only that prayer is good for you because it's got this kind of therapeutic effect, as if you pray to any old God out there, it will always have that sweet, calming effect inside. No, in Peter's mind, what empowers our progress in faith, what empowers a growing and flourishing Christian life, is the grace of God and the peace that multiplies specifically by knowing him, and specifically by knowing him as he has revealed himself to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and who has given himself for us. And therefore, as we pray for one another, as we pray for our own progress in the faith, we're not just praying that I can work hard enough to get there. No, it's the grace of God that dynamically is at work within us. And it's not just the grace of God as some ethereal force out there that you might happen to walk in the pathway of someday. It's the grace of God that we discover, that we experience, that we are nourished by, that we drink deeply from, specifically through knowing Him as He has revealed Himself to us in His Word, and above all, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, if we're praying for brothers and sisters to grow, we want to pray for them that they would know God, that they would know Jesus Christ more and more deeply. We want to pray that what they know from the Word would come alive by the work of the Spirit. Maybe this gives us reason to pray for one another, even at a simple level of saying, God, as I'm praying for my kids this week, I pray that when they read your Word, they would not just read words, they would meet you. Maybe this affects the way we pray for each other, even on Sunday mornings. That as we show up here next Sunday, eager to worship God together in singing, and to hear His Word and to take the bread. As we show up next Sunday, what if we're praying for each other in this church family that grace and peace would be multiplied among us so that we might make progress, but that it would be multiplied specifically as we know Him more deeply? I think that would have good and nourishing effects. But I would add to this, you know, there are those cliche ideas about prayer that can be taken too far. Sometimes God wants you to be the answer to your own prayer kinds of things. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. But I would say this is one of those places where we depend on God and we also take steps in alignment with God's will. How are we going to know God more deeply? How are we going to know Jesus more deeply? How am I going to do that in my own life? Well, one simple strategy that I want to urge you to consider for your life is to keep your Bibles open throughout the week. To read, and read with careful reflection on what God is revealing of Himself. And to not just read with careful reflection that gives us interesting facts to think about, but to read with the kind of careful reflection that leads us to praise God for who He is and to keep on praying in alignment with what He's revealed. The more deeply we know God and Christ through His Word, the more His grace by the power of His Spirit can abound among us, and the more we will make progress toward flourishing in our faith. I wonder if I might invite or encourage or challenge you to seek to make progress in your faith with an open Bible and with sincere prayers and with the pursuit of God Himself. And as you're doing that in your own life, what if we keep on praying for others, not just as a checklist of names, not just as an idea of a few friends I got to know better this week and I'll write them on a list and once in a while I'll glance at it and say, like, I think I was praying for my friends at youth camp. But what if we have our Bibles open informing us in how we can pray for our friends from youth camp that they would keep on growing in grace, that they would keep on making progress, adding to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, that they would keep on knowing God more deeply than they know Him today, that they would keep discovering the mercies and beauty of Jesus Christ more and more gloriously with each week that passes in this year. If we're praying for each other like that, I would love to see what God will be pleased to do among our youth, in our households, in our church family, in this city, and to the ends of the earth. So, brothers and sisters, I'd like to invite you for just a moment to pause and join me in praying along these lines together. Maybe you've got a few specific names on your mind that you want to fill in the blanks of. I'll pray a little more generally than I do when I'm praying specifically for people today, but I want to invite you to join me in praying together at this time. Heavenly Father, I pray that grace and peace would multiply among us even here this morning, so that people who have been brought into a relationship with you by grace already would continue to experience more and more deeply how you restore us to you when we have wandered away. And God, we think of some loved ones, maybe that we're aware of their wandering. God, restore, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a good shepherd. You seek out a wandering sheep. Restore and restore and restore, we pray, that that kind of grace would be multiplied. And for those whose consciences need to be confirmed and encouraged, and for those who need strength to do what you're calling them to do, and for those who need gifts to accomplish what you've sent them to do this week, God, we pray that your grace would be multiplied among us, and that your name would be glorified beyond us through your work in our lives. God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus, our Lord. God, I pray that in our households, in our networks of friends, in our workplaces, in every venue where you have called us to serve you, I pray that Jesus the Lord would be glorified by our lives in increasing measure. God, I pray that you would keep taking Christians like us and growing us, mature us, lead us not simply to having the bare minimum in our faith, but lead us toward flourishing in our faith. To the glory of your name, I pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, and so I want to invite those who are going to serve the elements of the Lord's Supper to come forward at this time.